All right, today I'm going to invite you into a meditation on Psalm 23, and we're going to walk through this together. I'm going to read it to you right now from 1625 Psalms of David in meter. And for you musicians out there, get this Bible. It's so fun, and you'll hear why, but it's been put together where every song has been paraphrased in such a way that they're laid out like poetry. And it's just a lot of fun. So if you enjoy that, you don't have to be a musician either. You can also sing it without having an instrument. But I'm just going to speak it to you. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green he leadeth me, the quiet waters by. My soul he doth restore again, and me to walk doth make. Within the paths of righteousness, even for his own name's sake. Yea, though I walk in death's dark vale, yet will I fear none ill. For thou art with me, and thy rod and staff me comfort still. My table thou hast furnished in presence of my foes. My head thou dost with oil anoint, and my cup overflows. Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore my dwelling place shall be. That was the New King James Version that you were reading up there. That's not what I gave him. I'm going to preach from the New King James Version. I'm sorry I didn't tell you that, Joe. So if you guys were a little confused and thinking, wow, he's really adding a lot of words. He's really taking some liberties there. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Isn't that beautiful, though? It's just a fun... Did I confuse you with having a different scripture up there? Did you miss out on the beauty of that while you were like, you're okay? You're kind of okay. I feel like I should read it again. Maybe I will. I think I will. Don't put the other one up this time. That's on me. I apologize, guys. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green, he leadeth me. The quiet waters by. My soul he doth restore again, and me to walk doth make. Within the paths of righteousness, even for his own name's sake. Yea, though I walk in death's dark vale, yet will I fear none ill. For thou art with me, and thy rod and staff me comfort still. My table thou hast furnished in presence of my foes. My head thou dost with oil anoint, and my cup overflows. Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore my dwelling place shall be. In the New King James Version, and we can bring them up now. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Who is my shepherd? The Lord. Who is the one that cares for me? Who is the one that leads me? Who is he? He is the Lord. He is the Father. He is the Son. He is the Holy Spirit. The Lord is my shepherd. Not my circumstances. Not the current situation that I'm in. Not my husband. Not my wife. Not my children's future. Not the economy. Not the president. Not the Congress. Not the person running against the president. Not the news. Not my job. Not my dreams. Not my own soul. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Would you just say that? When I'm overwhelmed, and how many of us get overwhelmed sometimes? It's good to remember those places, in those places of overwhelmedness, in those places of Mary brought up, in those places of disappointment and discouragement, in those places of injustice. Even in those places of anger, I can remember, the Lord is my shepherd. He's taking me somewhere. He's leading me somewhere. He's protecting me. He's caring for me. He doesn't expect me to become a shepherd, and he doesn't require that I make someone else a shepherd. He has chosen to be my shepherd. And how many of us need to remember that? How many of us need to remember that today? Whatever that situation is that you're going through, whatever that thing is, I want you to remember right now and always that the Lord is your shepherd. I shall not want, says, I shall not want. What does that mean? I will not have want. I will not have lack. I will not need something that is not provided. Why? Because God is my shepherd. And he's not expecting me to be able to do it on my own. My wife and I took a walk just this last Friday. We were taking our Sabbath on Friday, and we decided to go for a walk. And so we went out on Washburn. And out on Washburn, how many of you guys know where that's at? It runs north and south up here on this side of town. And I shouldn't tell you about it because it's my favorite place to go. That's my west office. I'll go over there and I park on the end. There's a great little spot to park off of First Street. As you get onto Washburn, you can just back in there and then you can just walk down Washburn. And there's very little traffic. So it's a beautiful place to go. So stay away from it. That's my place. But you can go, and in the morning, it's very fun. Take your coffee, park, and just walk out there. It's quiet and lovely. And that usually works unless there's like a frigid, frozen north wind blowing, which was what was going on Friday. And we made it like not far at all. Just blowing, and I would like, let's go take a walk here. And it's like, all right. So we go and park, and we get out, and it's like, nose is like bright red, and ears are hurting, and we're just like pressing on. It was not what I had intended. Karen doesn't like my west office as much as I do. But as we were walking, there were a whole bunch of sheep that were out in the field. They're out in the pasture. And there's the, you know, the cute little lambs. Golly, they are just, I mean, what? Like, I'm telling you, only our kids are cuter than little lambs. Wouldn't you say? I mean, there's just something about when you see a lamb, all that language that God uses, you just start going, oh, I so get it, right? The only thing that makes you get it more is when you pick up your little niece or your nephew or your own kid, right? And you're just like, oh, it's the best. Or maybe your little brother or sister if you're not aunt and uncle age yet, right? There's just something about seeing those little lambs that, I mean, I don't know, God did it. How does he do that? How does he shape a little creature that when you see it, you go, you are the picture of innocence and vulnerability and cuteness. And so we're looking at these little lambs and they're just bipping about, doing what they do. And then you, I mean, this is, isn't it funny, like the job of sheep and that he compares us to them? I mean, I know people like are kind of mean about the sheep, but it's also kind of good for us on a bad day to remember how dumb sheep are and how much God loves them. Like, I take a lot of comfort in that because sometimes I'm just a real dumb sheep. And I'm like, I'm so glad you love dumb sheep. Like, I qualify so hard today. And I love that about him. But I'm just watching these beautiful little lambs. And they have been brought by the shepherd into this beautiful field that has everything that they need in it. And that guy has gone and prepared that field so it doesn't have anything that's going to hurt those sheep that's grown out of the ground. Has surrounded that particular field, you know, here in the west, surrounded the field with a fence, and they're cared for, and their job is to just be a happy little sheep. And the only care in the world that they have are the ones that they make up. Like, we were walking by, and they're kind of like, you know, and they're just running the other direction, and I'm thinking, I'm a good sheep. I'm a really good sheep. I'm good at this too. Reacting to the things around me, getting really, really scared and running away. Oh, being dumb sometimes. I qualify. Enough about the sheep. The shepherd cares for those beautiful little lambs. The shepherd is providing for everything that they need. The shepherd, as David, being a shepherd, is relating to God as a shepherd. He brings this poetry together and he's saying, okay, God, as an analogy of your love. And obviously his love for us is much greater as we are also his sons and daughters. So all jokes aside, where he loves us so dearly. And David is meditating on the reality of God's provision for everything that he needs. And he's doing this as a wonderful shepherd. He was a very successful shepherd. Remember he talked about, you know, he killed the bear and the lion protecting his sheep. David knows what's up. Being a fierce, protective, loving shepherd of his lambs. And he's saying, God, you're my shepherd. You're going to care for me. And so then he begins to walk us through this analogy. I shall not want. I am your sheep. You're going to take care of everything that I need. You're going to make sure that I'm safe. And so he continues, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Now, you guys have probably heard this before, but it bears repeating, is that where David was taking his sheep, you don't like go, it's not Oregon, okay? Oregon is amazing. The field that I just explained to you, you're not seeing that out in the desert where he was raising sheep. When you're looking at green pastures where David was bringing up sheep, you had to go to them and find them, and they were seasonal. So you're going to these different places where the grass has sprung up, and he has to lead his sheep to the places where they'll be satisfied. What do you think about that in our lives? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He knows where the green pastures are. He knows where we're going. He knows where my needs are going to be met. How many of us feel like once we get to a sweet spot, we just want to stay there? I mean, does anybody else just want to settle? You're like raising your hand. Yeah, wait, what? Right? When it's safe and it's good, what is our instinct? The same as Peter with the transfiguration. Lord, it's good that we should be here. Right? Remember the Mount of Transfiguration? Moses and Elijah show up, and everything's bright and beautiful, and he's like, this is great. Let's build some tabernacles. We'll just hang out right here. I have that same instinct. When things are really, really good, when pastures are green, everything's going great, I'm like, don't do anything wrong, everybody. Be cool. Let's just stay right here and enjoy this. Don't screw it up. Stay in unity, everyone. Stay in unity. Don't mess it up, right? Are you guys with me? We want to make permanent that particular circumstance. We want to make permanent the circumstances in our lives. We want to make permanent the good things so that we can enjoy those things. But here's the problem with that. He's the good shepherd. And he's going to take us to the next green pasture. He knows how long we need to stay in that place, in that space. And then he's going to take us on to the next beautiful space and place. And so in this analogy, if we're looking at it in the way that he wrote it, he's a good shepherd talking about how God leads him to those beautiful places. But in this, I would like for us to meditate for our own lives that those places, those green pastures, that provision, that I lack nothing, is brought on by the good shepherd, not by the circumstance. And that he's going to take us and give us everything that we need. But once we eat up all the green grass in that space, then the shepherd's like, that's all right, because I got another sweet spot that I know where there's some really good next thing that you need. Are you guys with me? And I want to invite us right now that again, let me just read. I'm going to read verses 1-3 to you here. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What sticks out to you in those verses? What's the primary idea that we keep hearing? The Lord is my shepherd. I will not want. He makes me to lie down. He leads me beside the water. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Who's the primary player here? The shepherd. The Lord. He's doing it. He's the one that's doing it. He's the one that's moving. He's the one that's leading. He's the one that's restoring. And how many times do I find myself trying to do all those things for myself? Does anybody else here empathize with that idea? Yeah, it's like, oh my goodness, what's going on around me? The circumstances around me shifted, and now I'm worried. I need to make sure that my needs are taken care of. I gotta get to thinking. I gotta get to planning. Or this situation that used to be here, it's gonna change. It's starting to change. I gotta figure out where the next space is gonna be. Oh my goodness, I gotta start figuring this out. Oh, my soul has been devastated by yet another broken situation that happened in life today. And now it's my soul is wasted and tired and exhausted. What am I supposed to do? And then I look at this and I go, wait a minute. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. How many of you need the Lord? You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you just need the Lord to lead you? How many of you just need to remember today, oh, wait a minute. He's leading me. If I don't have any new instructions, then I can just safely stay right where I am until the good shepherd says, hey, time to move again. I can assume that the good shepherd is really good at leading me. Maybe you guys are probably, actually, you guys probably are better at this than me. But I would dare say that lying down is the hardest one for me. Be still, lie down, just chill, be right in this space, in this place, in this area. Well, you can, like with my body, maybe my body, but my mind too. You want me to be still? No. How many of you guys can relate to that, right? It's like you're in that beautiful space, but the hardest thing for you to do when he takes you there is just be there. Lord, give us the grace to trust that when you lead us into a place and you give us room, that we could just be there with you. That we wouldn't already be planning and rushing on to the next thing. There's a gift of presence that the Good Shepherd gives us. He is there, and we are there, and we're together, and he offers his presence and his peace. How many of you would say that today you need him to restore your soul? It's just that simple. You're just like, man, I am soul weary. You might not have done anything wrong. In fact, most times when we're soul weary, it's not usually sin. You don't have to have sinned to be soul weary. Somebody else doesn't even have to have sinned to be soul weary. You just got to be alive to be soul weary. There are very real things that we each face, and our souls get weary. And I think most of us in that place, we look for that thing that we can do to try to restore our soul. For some of us, we just do more work. Golly, that thing is weary and sad. You know what I'll do? You know what makes me feel good? Checking a few more things off the to-do list so that later I won't feel tired since I'm exhausted now because there'll be less things on the list. Anyone in here do that kind of math? Yeah, you're my people. Let's get to, in fact, after church today, let's get a couple things done. We'll help each other out. Really get ahead. Really get ahead. Some of us, we try to escape. We might escape into Netflix. We might escape into football. It was just so easy. I mean, you like slow pitched it. It's just so easy. We may escape into overindulgence in things that are already good. Maybe it's food. Maybe it's gossip. Maybe it's alcohol. Whatever it is, we're looking to try to meet a need. And by the way, all of the things that we do too much of are usually good things. We just are trying to make that thing do something it can't do. And I want to invite you this morning in the simplicity of what this word says, that the good shepherd, he can restore our soul. And that really in this space of needing that, there's just a matter of saying, God, that's exactly what I need you to do. That's exactly what I need you to do. You guys, one of the most extraordinarily powerful things that we can do in this life is to surrender. It's an incredibly hard thing to do because it means that we have to admit that we can't actually save ourselves, that we're not actually in control, that we don't have everything that we need. We are admitting our complete dependence upon God and interdependence with others. Like, how many of you guys are just feeling something happening inside of you right now, even as I'm listing this stuff? You're like, well, it's vulnerable to admit that we absolutely need the shepherd to do for us what we can never do for ourselves. And it begins with surrender, because I have to let go of that illusion of those actions, of those things that make me continue to propel myself unto things that I could never actually fulfill unless he does it. And it's this simple. Lord, I surrender. I surrender. Lord, it sounds like that. That's perfect. That's exactly what it is. It's taking that time and saying, God, my soul is crying right now. My heart is weary right now. But you can restore it. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Oh man. Oh man, I take such great comfort in that. Oh my goodness. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Okay, well, that's good enough. But the part that I take a ton of incredible comfort from is for his name's sake. Oh, come on. Only the repetitive sinners in the room understand why, how much I like this one. Right? It's like, be great if you were doing like different kinds of sins. Like, oh, I didn't even realize. Whoops. Oh, this too? Oh, sorry about that, you know. No, we're doing the same thing over and over again. Aren't you glad that he is leading us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake? That he has taken ownership of our lives and he's like, oh, don't worry. I am not going to let this thing take you out. I'm going to keep teaching you. I'm going to keep picking you up. I'm going to keep washing you off. I'm going to keep on doing this. Do you know why? Because you belong to me. Because I'm going to have the last word about how well you are loved and how well you are taken care of and how much Christ is formed in you. You know why? Because I'm the good shepherd and I'm doing this in you. You may have given up on you. I'm not giving up on you. Yeah. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. I want you to catch this part, verses 4 and 5. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This is the part where our peace is so often, we are looking for the circumstances to change so that we can then feel a sense of safety and peace. And I want to tell you this, God is not planning on removing your enemies until he comes for the final time. He's not going to do away with the things that are going on, the circumstances that are going on. They're going to continue until he comes and finishes all things. Because as we sang today, it's the simple gospel. As Jason reminded us again today, what's the point of this life? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him will not perish. You guys, we have about 80 years, each of us, and God's desire is that people would choose him back. And until everyone has an opportunity to do that, to either choose, oh, I like you, Lord. I want you to be my shepherd. I want to live forever. Or to choose, I don't like you, Lord. I don't want to live forever. Our choice. But as long as there is this first earth, this is the whole point. That we're going to be in a world that has enemies. We're going to be in a world that has troubles. We're going to be in a world that has issues going on. And if we're going to be at peace, if we're going to be in a place where we don't fear, then we need to make peace with the fact that the reason why we don't fear isn't because the crises have gone away. It isn't because the enemy has been taken out. It isn't because there isn't a presence of enemies around us, but it's because he's with us. That's where the comfort comes from. And I want to just say today, if you have had some approximation of being like, Lord, remove all of these circumstances so that I can no longer be afraid, you're praying the wrong prayer. The prayer is, Lord, thank you that you are with me. I pray for my enemies that they'd get saved. I rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus, the devil one. And I pray for these enemies, the fleshly ones, that they'd get saved. And in the meantime, Lord, I am at peace because you are with me. And then listen about what he does for our purposes, what he does for your life right now. Listen to what he says. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And I love verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Where? In the presence of my enemies. I'm right there in the middle of it. The devil's there going, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill your kids. Your kids that are going through addiction right now, they're always going to be addicted. I'm going to own your grandkids. Your future is going to be horrible. The economy is going to explode. Banks are going to stop working. Whatever thing you're scared of, they're going to rule the world. And you're just like, ah, right? That's what he wants. But what happens? The Lord shows up and goes, oh, yeah. And then he just starts setting the table. You're like, what you doing, good shepherd? And he's laying out whatever it is that you like, tofurkey for the vegetarians, brisket for those who have greater faith. It's in the Bible. I shouldn't have done that. We were doing good. I was being comforting, and then I picked a fight. I'm sorry. No, but he lays out whatever. Picture that beautiful meal that you love without Josh teasing you. All right? He's just laying out that meal. And here's the enemy. Yap, 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 yap. Yap, 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 yap. And here's all this chaos all around you. And the Lord's like, come here, sit down. Sit down in this green area. Sit down next to these still waters. Let me just lay this out. Now let's just sit down. How are you today? Pass the brisket. I love that song you're working on. I love that thing you've been doing. You're doing a great job. Has anybody told you today that I love you? I love you. Has anybody told you that you're a fantastic sheep? You're not a dumb sheep like Josh. You're a smart sheep. You always listen the first time. That is so good. Josh does it the 15th. That's why I made him a pastor. So he's like really getting good at knowing things the 15th time. He sets the table in front of our enemies. You guys, we need to start remembering that our inheritance is to be at peace with the Lord in spite of circumstances, not because they changed. That's our shepherd. That's our shepherd. That's what we're invited into. That's our inheritance. So when we look at each thing, then we say, God, is there anything you want me to pray about this? But meanwhile, we're eating. We're hanging out. We're having a good time. But we're not measuring success on whether or not the circumstance has happened yet. It will shift in God's good time, but that's the shepherd's business. Our job is to be present with the Lord. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the end of the story. That's the end of the story. Well, I should say that's the beginning of the story. Forever's a long time. We're in the short 80 years or so part. I just turned 49 last week. Hence the new sweater. My mommy got this for me. So I'm wearing my birthday sweater. But I got to tell you, it is going fast. It is going so fast. And honestly, I'm not bummed out about it. I'm going, wow. You know, like the Lord promises us about 80 years. I only got 30 left, suckers. Like I'm ahead of you guys. Yeah. Yeah. So We are supposed to think about these things. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. My cup is going to overflow. I'm going to do as much as I can with the Lord to see blessing, to see his kingdom expanded. I'm going to get as much treasure as I can unto the kingdom. I want to serve as much as I can. I want to rejoice as much as I can. I want to play as much as I can. I want to work as much as I can. I want to rest as much as I can. I want to hang out with you guys as much as I can. I want to see as many people as I get to influence unto them coming to the kingdom as I can. I want to see as much human flourishing as I can in the next 30 or plus years because I am out of here. Are you with me? Not because I want to escape, but because he's coming with a new heaven and earth, and I only have about 30 years left. And I don't want to spend it worrying. I don't want to spend energy on things that he's not focused on. I want to eat good food with the shepherd in front of my enemies. I want my cup to overflow and the enemy to be so bummed that he uses less energy on me because he's like, it just is a waste of my energy. Because I think he likes it. I think Josh is starting to like this. I think he enjoys being at peace while I'm like, yep, 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 yep. And he's like, yeah, keep talking to me. The more you talk to me, the less you're getting anything else done. Hang out here and watch me eat brisket. You guys are like, is that okay? Maybe not. I don't know. Protect me, Lord. His goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And at the end of all of this, and as a part of it starts today, you're already in it, we dwell in his house forever. This is the word of the Lord.